Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. As always, thank you so much for joining us today. Joining me in the studio today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
And I'm your host, Destin LeGarry. Guys, on today's show, we're going to talk about the community. Have we been a little bit too negative and how we could be better? What Bungie needs to do to win people back? We're going to talk about that a little bit. What is going on with faction rallies? There has been a lot of controversy about how they adjusted it and what they're doing to fix it for the next one. And why should people still play? I actually have a response there. Thank you so much. Let's get right into it. So let's open up with the Forbes article. So there was a Forbes article that came out today where they talked about how they're worried about Destiny 2, but they're more worried about Bungie, the studio. And their reasoning was basically Bungie is doing a ton. They have a whole game to balance. They're working on the new content, not just the updates, the future DLCs and, you know, the fall DLC most likely. They think that the community is, it's fine to be critical. And that's one thing I want to talk about on this show. We're often critical. There's a difference between being critical and getting toxic. So constructive criticism is what we try and do on this show. Mm-hmm. We try not to get too negative, but we try and be blunt and direct with our feedback. So what Forbes says is they actually recommend advising They advise revisiting the deal with Activision because right now they have this cadence of content that needs to be released and it's overwhelming them. Now, if that Schreier rumor you brought up is that they rebooted Destiny 2 16 months before launch, that is a ridiculously crazy cycle to follow.
For people who haven't read the article, like the context of the article, like Destin put, is that Bungie is put in a really special and difficult place in terms of how developers have to deal with AAA releases because other AAA releases aren't ongoing. There's this ramp up towards release called the crunch where like maybe 6 months before the game releases, you staff up a bunch and people work overtime to make sure that the game is done. But then once the game releases and it's out, everyone kind of leans back a little bit, takes a little bit of a break. Some people maybe go on vacation and such.
But you hit the launch time.
Yeah, but you hit the launch, right? That's the goal. But the thing about Destiny is that there is no
stop.
There is no stop. Yeah. It doesn't stop. Like the game comes out and suddenly it's what's the next big DLC? What's the next big content drop? What's the next big live event?
Yeah.
So Bungie is basically in crunch mode all the time.
Yeah.
And for a studio that is, you know, been doing this for a long time and has a lot of players to support and goals to hit both on their side and the publisher side, they're put in a really tough spot.
Here's the major problem, and here's why a lot of faith has been lost. Duggan put out a tweet today, and I think he actually makes a good point. You guys want more Duggan on the show. He made a comment about Destiny the other day. He said, I've never witnessed a developer able to regain the goodwill of their community so repeatedly, only to discard it again with such haste. The frequency and consistency of their mistakes are baffling. I agree with him to an extent. I agree in the respect that we trust Bungie, but I do feel like the community is kind of at the end of their rope. The community, I can't say I, but the community discovered the XP glitch.
Normally it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I'll speak for me, but not the community.
The community discovered the Lost Sector problem that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
The community discovered the Prometheus lens glitch, which the gun was overpowered, and we're just kind of like, what is going on at Bungie?
Yeah, and that's the question. I think the issue is when you talk about any of these kind of things, that's the first thing that comes to mind. You go, okay, you want to be sympathetic. You understand there's probably a lot to do that we don't understand from a development standpoint, but it seems odd when this is not happening like once or twice. It's like, and again,
it's repeatedly,
well, and I feel bad. Like every day you're waking up and I'm going, okay, I want to play. Oh,
well, that's kind of what the article poses is like, it's because Bungie's in this really tough spot, and it's because there's this deal with Activision to kind of continually put out big content to drive player growth and such. That, you know, eventually stuff just starts to fall through the cracks. Like, no matter how talented of a developer you are, like, which we know Bungie is.
Yeah.
Their chance was the launch of Destiny 2. Destiny 2 launched quite strongly.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, we have all these little complaints. They'll address it in Curse of Osiris. And Curse of Osiris came out and it was a big flop.
Yeah.
People did not enjoy it very much. And then people are like, well, all this other stuff is going on. You're pushing us to the Eververse. You're doing these community events that just want to take more money from us. At least that's how it feels. And just faith has been lost, and they need to regain that. So what do they need to do to win people back? One thing Reddit keeps pointing out is how quickly the Fortnite team is with their communication. Here's what the Fortnite team does. Recognizes the problem, directly calls it out with the community, fixes it rapidly.
Yeah. And they're constantly communicating on Twitter, too.
I mean,
like, they are literally engaging them on a daily basis. Now, obviously, Fortnite's in an interesting position. They obviously have a
small team.
It's a free-to-play game, and they're able to kind of, you know, not break what they've created, but nobody really knows what the core of Fortnite is. They're still kind of...
Yeah, like, Fortnite's... Let's be honest. Like, yeah, Fortnite's a much more nimble team because they have a lot... less systems to actually do. Like, the thing that put them on the map is something they aped from another company. Like, Destiny does something truly and differently original than anyone else in the games industry. Like, as much as people want to be like, what's our Destiny? You can't point to any other game out there and be like, this is what Destiny is, or this is like Destiny. Destiny is in a league all its own. And so...
Some people would say World of Warcraft.
Oh,
no.
It's 2018. We're supposed to do it yet.
All I've said repeatedly is that they should learn something from the RPG mechanics in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But, like, no one else has done this. Like,
as a first-person shooter.
That's also...
PvE, PvP.
Yeah, like a shared world PvE, PvP shooter with RPG elements. Like, no one's done that.
Correct. I would sort of look at Borderlands 2, but that was, like... An early because it's four player, but
not
this is much larger.
Yeah, is there PvP in that?
PvP.
I never played Borderlands 2.
It's a little different. It's not like the same kind of experience where you have like a timer and a match. There is those kind of elements, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah, but the point is like you can Bungie needs to be a little bit better about more transparently and frequently communicating with their community. I think that's just like a good practice to adopt in terms of how they address issues and respond to them. We have to be open to the idea that, listen, some of the problems that we're asking to be addressed may not be so simple to address. Yeah. And it's not as if Bungie is hearing them and just ignoring people.
Yeah. Here's what the community wants, though, and this is what their team is doing well. We see the heavy ammo glitch problem. We're going to get it fixed. Oh, no, we hit a snag. This is going to take way longer. Here's why. Mm-hmm. There was one of the Anthem developers actually talked about the inventory system on Reddit this week, and they expressly laid out, oh, here's why Bungie might be having issues with their inventory system and why it might take long. And people are like, oh, you know what? That makes sense. Thank you for explaining it.
It's the why.
That's it. Yeah. And they just leave that why totally blank. They don't reveal anything. It's being too protective. And the Halo game was one thing. Mm-hmm. This is a game where you have millions of players who are invested in this community and this world and what it means to them personally.
Yeah.
And that's why they get such negativity and vitriol.
Well, besides Halo 5, which kind of has like Warzone, Halo previous to this didn't have anything but PvP. So it was a totally different, like you can't even compare
minus the campaign.
But minus campaign. I mean, they did Firefight and Reach and a couple other things, but... Yeah, now you're into the shared world shooter. You're trying to balance weapons and meta and all this other stuff. And yeah, right now I would say a lot of the community is feeling that they want a sandbox update, And they just want to know why one can't happen.
Yep.
And there's no real justification by anybody. And again, feel bad. Christopher Barrett, I think, is doing a really good job. But when
he's been excellent on Twitter.
He
lately.
Has
he
been.
He's just like, I'm going to say what I need to say on Twitter. And he's been doing it well.
And the challenge is when you see some of that and then, you know, he's not able to back it up with – like, let's call it a flawless victory, you know, or like any kind of run longer than a couple weeks where, oh, there's another thing that comes out and then I need to kind of backtrack and apologize a little bit. It sucks because he's doing, I think, an amazing job. Like, he's posting at all hours of the day in the evening. I'm like, I don't know how much more you need from a person, but they need to like do stuff right. Right.
Yeah. The title of this episode is Don't Go Easy on Bungie. And I don't think we should. I think we need to be critical of them. They need to hear this feedback, but don't be a jerk.
Yes.
So
yeah, like Destin pointed out,
just be mindful of that as you're giving them feedback on Twitter or what, because they're like, reading all this stuff.
Yeah. Destin pointed out, and I think it's a really important distinction for gamers, especially because gaming is one of these things that people are so invested in that they almost feel like it's like they're entitled to. Like in some way they take ownership in the game.
Yeah.
And let's be real, like that's not really true. Like you may have put 2,000 hours into Destiny, but you don't own it and you don't make decisions for the company.
Yeah.
But you can express concerns and feedback because they do want to hear that and they do want to make it better because in the end, they do want the game to be fun and enjoyable for everyone. Mm-hmm. But there is a big difference between negativity and criticism.
Yeah.
Criticism is welcome. Constructive criticism where you're giving feedback so that they can openly and hopefully address it. Mm. That's great. When you're just hurling insults behind from the guise of anonymity and trying to hurt people's feelings or make them feel bad about their work, that crosses a line, especially for people who work so hard on the game. Like, no one really deserves that, right?
Yeah. That's
like, just try and have some empathy, right? Like, if you were at your job and someone – if you were working at McDonald's and someone came back and was like, hey, you suck at flipping burgers, man. Flip that burger better. Like, wouldn't – that would be – that would suck, you
know? Well, and I think that's the thing. You have a bunch of people doing that, and it's not everybody. So I want to make sure that we say that, you know, gamers in general, it's not everybody that's being toxic. It's not everybody that's being positive. But there definitely is, I think, a way to, present feedback in a way that is not negative. And a lot of people are doing that the right way. So I don't want to say everybody's being super toxic.
Yeah.
Or everybody
we're not saying that.
The right way.
Yeah. I do my best to be critical without being toxic. But I'm sure I have
the vault upgraded yet.
It's day 1,229. I just did the math. Still not fixed. That system is still wonky.
But that's a passion thing. So I get that.
Yeah. So it's a mix of passion and care, and they don't feel like they're being heard. And if they started addressing these problems the way the Fortnite team has been doing, I think they could do a lot to foster that relationship with the community. And if they start doing those live streams that they promised, when they start being more open again and eat some crow.
Yeah.
You need to eat some crow. Like, it's just going to happen.
So here's the only problem I think. Here's the only challenge I think is that, you know, with Destiny, there's some – I always go back to the Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy vision piece we produced, Surprise and Delight. It was the thing that I think Bungie is struggling with where they want to keep certain things to themselves. They want people to experience what it is in the game. The problem is people are having negative experiences. When you do a lost sector more than once or twice in a 10-minute span, and then you open a third chest, and you're like, oh, I can't wait. Oh, there's nothing in this chest.
You guys watched me do it before the show, and I did terribly. I just kept dying and popped open that third chest.
Terribly.
Nothing.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. And when you don't – like unless you're following Reddit and unless you're following like Bungie and some people who are really invested in the game and a lot of people are – we are following that. The people who aren't are going to this chest and going, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I opened this up and there was nothing. So
one second before you go further. So what CJ's talking about is actually one of our second topics. We're going to be talking about what the heck is going on with faction rallies. So the faction rallies have been introduced, and there are some major problems with them. Basically, none of the Season 2 weapons are there except the premier weapon, which is an AR for each of the different ones. Future War Cult for the win.
Dead Orbit for life.
And the problem is people were looking for something to collect. So they went to do the Lost Sector glitch. Okay, that's not there. That's fair. You don't want us shooting into a cave. You want us actually experiencing your content.
Yeah. Right?
So then they try to do the Lost Sector twice, and you cannot. You are locked out for 10 minutes after you do one Lost Sector. Even if you go to another one, loot that one, then come back, you will still be locked out.
Yeah.
And it was a throttling that they did to make sure that you weren't farming too many tokens, and it is not fun.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They should not have implemented this fix in any way right now.
Yeah.
Right now, leave the game as it is and only implement positive changes. If your community wants to farm 500 tokens, let them right now.
Yeah.
At least they're playing your game and they're having fun with their friends, yeah. even if it's not the fun that you want them to have.
Yeah.
This is, I don't think this change should have been addressed in this update.
It comes back to like what I imagine is actually this huge systemic and really like tightly wound ball of like string that kind of goes all throughout the development cycle, right? Which is that if you think about why might they implement this change, right? Mm-hmm. And the change being like this throttling of how fast players can acquire tokens.
Yep.
The only logical, reasonable answer that I can think of is that it's a stopgap measure to increase gameplay time, right? Like it's designed to kind of slow players down so that it takes longer for them to get to their goal.
Interesting.
I think it's more what I said. They don't want you doing shooting into a cave or jumping in and out of a cave to get to.
But here's the thing: it's like, that's what I mean. Is like, that's what I mean. Is that right there represents what I have said before as a fundamental misunderstanding of what players do in this game, is
min-max.
No matter how you design your systems, you have to know that your hardcore players in Destiny are going to find the most efficient way to get the maximum amount of reward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can I get what I want with the least amount of time invested or the fastest? And knowing that, you have to design your systems. And if you don't, you have to implement things that increase the duration of time that it takes to get things done, which is what this seems like this is. And I think like that's a problem. You don't ever want to feel like people are putting in time and effort for a reward that isn't worth that time and effort. Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, you have to figure out that like if you know that the goal – if you know that they're going to min-max all their time and resources anyway, then why not design the system to reward that instead of punish it?
Yes.
Totally right, and I totally agree with you 100%. Look back to year one Destiny when we could do Vault of Glass and everybody finally got their Galahorns and we would melt the final boss. It felt awesome. You felt that power that you want to feel in Destiny, but you had to put in the time and earn it, and I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you were able to defeat Skolas – when House of Wolves was out quickly because it was Fireburn, you happen to get Galahorn. That was 1 week. Change the burn the following week, and that addresses a lot of the problems that you're having.
It's ultimately the main reason why we all made three characters.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, guess what? You can only get so many Ascendant Shards in the Vault of Glass. You can only get so many of this. So we all created, even Fran created three of the same character.
Because he's weird.
Because he's crazy. But he wanted the same, he wanted a chance at getting the armor to just get the max light. So there's all these things when you look back at Destiny 1, you analyze what people were doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like they're kind of punishing people for wanting to play the game more, and I don't quite understand.
Well, it's kind of one of those things where like I think you have to be on the developer side, I think you have to be a little bit open to the idea that the game is going to be played in ways that you didn't necessarily expect
or want.
Now there are bad examples of that, i.e. shooting into a loot cave, but there are good examples of that. I can't think of one in Destiny right now because there haven't been that many, because Bungie does these things where they implement like punishes and changes.
Yeah.
I don't want to call them punishments, but like changes that seem to limit the experience in one narrow way, right? But if you take a look at other games where this is known to have like emergent types of gameplay, like the Bethesda games, the Fallouts, the Skyrims, that kind of thing, a big part of the charm is these weird little things that happen in the player experience that the developers could not have possibly accounted for.
Yeah.
And sometimes those are weird, like your horse falls through the earth and like goes catapulting through a mountain. But like, why is that?
Awesome.
Why do players find that cool? It's because like,
you remember in Red Dead when the human models were mapped to the bird models and they're flying around?
Like players find that type of thing charming because guess what? The developer isn't coming into the space and being like, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. Like, don't see that. Like they're not changing. Changing those things.
Dude, BXR in Halo 2. That's what it was. Like, it was not implemented in the game intentionally, and that was literally the difference of the hardcore versus the casuals.
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, BXR.
Yeah. Dude, look at wave dashing in Super Smash Melee. Like, all of these things that emerge by players being more and more invested in that. I think you have to be open to that as a developer and understand that on some level, you're not going to be able to control all of that.
Yeah.
Now, I understand the desire to want to control it all because you don't want someone shooting into a cave for hours and hours and having him end up being more efficient than people playing the game.
All this other content.
Yeah, so I get that. So I'm not asking you to take it all. Like, I'm just saying, like, if it turns out that people want to farm loot caves because it's the fastest and most efficient way, and guess what? They're doing that. Yeah. You built that loot cave system or the Lost Sector system for that express purpose. Just let people do it, man. Guess what? All they're earning is tokens to get weapons that are the same anyway. So why do you care, really?
But the main thing, the main thing people are doing, though, is initially, I think for the first one, I mean, I think we all kind of felt this, is that you felt loyalty to a certain faction. Or if you didn't feel the loyalty, cut to the wide shot. Because basically, Destin's right now going, no, I bought the best weapon. I stayed true to Dead Orbit, but there was initially...
You have three characters, just pick one of each.
I know. But that, so right there. So there's a combination of, I think, people really wanted to go, oh, I want my faction to win. And then there's other people who are like, oh, I really want this weapon to win because I want the weapon. Now, even that fundamental sort of competitive...
They're all ARs has and been they're lost.
They're all the ARs. They're all the same.
They're all same.
You know, like all the factions, like none of the factions matter.
And I understand why. Like I get why they're going, oh, here's the reward and we're introducing this one into the pool and then we're going to do the next one. But again, if you were not really into playing Destiny and you're not feeling so hot right now, you're just going to tune in for the last pub, you know, the last faction rally and go, okay, now at least all the weapons are in the loot pool. I'll just play now for a chance at all of them. So I mean, there's a lot of things where, I get it. And I understand why, but then the other side, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know if that's going to work like you intended it to work. So,
There was one exciting thing in the update. Hamrick said about mods 2.0, will allow them to be more potent in ways that you'll end up feeling directly in your ability uptime and therefore total power output. That was positive. That was definitely a positive. I mean, it sounds.
It's like, vague still.
It's still vague, but I mean, he's giving us a little bit of a tease.
But it's vague in the right direction, right? Yes. Like, before the mod system was basically negligible when it had so much potential. We've talked about the mod system before and how it could be good. Even though this is vague, it looks like it's pointing in the right direction for improvement.
I think the challenge, though, is that this is that people are feeling like, okay, and let's not deny that the last weekly update, the development update, that was huge. There's lots of things coming, but now, and again, insatiable community, you know, this is a great game that's, you know, or a great franchise that I think spawns very loyal people and players. But now, they've almost created this monster that they can't quite grasp. And it's like, you need to like detail some of these things sooner than later.
It's great to cultivate like a really high amount of loyalty, but like you always run the risk of betraying that loyalty and then they become your worst enemies.
That's currently kind of what's happening.
I think that's how people are feeling.
Well, they're teetering on the edge of it. It's like those people who invested 2,000 hours into Destiny 1, they're going to be your most vocal supporters and critics when the time, like depending on what cycle of that kind of feedback loop you're in.
If whatever the Rasputin DLC is releases and it's a flop, I don't know what they're going to have some major makeup to do. Like, I don't know how you come back from that. You release Curse of Osiris, fans are unsatisfied. You release the next one. After all the dissatisfaction has been
I mean,
made very
who knows, right?
And it's a big flop. That would like, be very dangerous.
What's really interesting is the Forbes article offers a solution in that way, and it makes a
revisit the deal.
Yeah, well, that, but also it makes it compares it to what Ubisoft did with Assassin's Creed, which is like maybe a long, hard look at the franchise while taking a break. Is a good way to kind of address it because. Fans and like the gameplay got a little bit stale with the Assassin's Creed after it got annualized, and fans kind of felt the same way. Ubisoft takes a break, doesn't release one for a year, takes a long, hard look at what the game is, comes back with Origins, and it's the best one.
It's awesome.
And they did a bunch of changes and tweaks that
so,
were
like,
very risky.
Maybe the solution is, all right, what do you know the community wants right now in Destiny the most? They want a sandbox change, and they want a clear map for the future.
Well, they want a sandbox change often or more quickly.
I mean, personally, I say get the sandbox right, and then you don't have to change much, right? Like how in Halo 5, those weapons haven't been changed. Like since how many years?
But again, we're comparing apples to oranges there because there's constantly new weapons being introduced every DLC. So that's what's a little bit different.
Yeah, but they're all kind of samey.
So the samey thing, I want to mention one thing that we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, that last week. It's samey, but now do you think there's a combination of, you know, let's remember back to the Vault of Glass and everything that we did. You know, everything was new. So Gjallarhorn was new. Mm-hmm. Vex was new. Fatebringer was new. Now, because we have that in our memory bank, there's this expectation that we're kind of comparing everything else to those weapons, and now nothing feels maybe special because it's not new.
No, see, I kind of half agree and I kind of half disagree because, like, think about in terms of just Destiny 2.
Yeah.
What have been the really memorable, desirable weapons?
Yeah, Merciless and a few other ones.
Merciless.
Not that many.
And Prometheus Lens, and Prometheus Lens because it was broken.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, right.
And I'm talking about, like, exotic specifically right? The point is that, like, there just isn't enough weapon variation and enough desirability amongst the weapons that are
desirable. The perks are not, like, contributing anything different than regular weapons.
And then even when we got Legend of Acrius, we're like, oh, this is going to be it. Nope.
Yep.
Yeah. Nope, not at all. And then the system was broken.
Yep.
So, like, we keep encountering these broken systems. It's like, why are we catching this? This is
also,
I feel like
some
I'm
of the best,
crazy pills.
Some of the, yeah. So Black Spindle, right, from year one or from Destiny 1 was a huge, like, everyone was talking about that, right? Even if the weapon wasn't as good as Black Hammer, everyone was talking about it because the quest was really cool. It was hidden.
Yes.
Not one hidden quest yet.
I know.
Yeah.
Not one.
I know.
And that was
huge
ghost.
Like, I would have been like, if I'm sitting in the dev room, and again, I can't, it's hard for me to say these things because I'm not a dev.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know what goes on in those meeting rooms. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in that room and they're like, what was the really high points of Destiny 1? Let's make sure we double down on that stuff in Destiny 2. I'd be like, that Black Spindle quest, man. People love secret quests.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, they did love that.
Well, and they kind of
put a line through it.
So none of that. Get that out of there. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
And I feel like they took parts of that with, like, and they interpreted.
What part?
Into the Nightfall.
Weapon
right?
drops and raids. Yeah, let's crash that off. Yeah.
No, but into the Nightfall. The Nightfall, I think, got a timer in there. And it's like, oh, that was kind of neat. There was, like, an urgency to complete the thing on time, like Black Spindle. It's like, yeah, but that's not all what made Black Spindle cool. It's like, it was the reward. It was also the fact that you only could do it on certain weeks. It was kind of hidden. It was off the beaten trail.
But
it was all these things that accumulated to that.
But even in the raid, like in Wrath of the Machine, Destin, one of the big moments in Wrath of the Machine was discovering that the binary code thing and unlocking that exotic. That was like a worldwide event.
Yeah.
More of that. Like, there's not a single one of those in Destiny 2. Like,
hopefully with the recipe, like, that's a huge opportunity to, like, they've talked about, Barrett's talked about introducing ghosts in the world again. Like, it would be great to have more secrets to chase, more lore to unfold. I mean, like, the Grimoire system was terrible, but at least we have had more lore to discover within the game, and that's just not available.
But there's a score. At least there was a score. There was a little something to chase there, and there is not a lot of that right now.
Finally, I want to talk about why people should still play, and I'm going to make more of an effort to stream every Tuesday at 8 on twitch.tv/thedestinychannel, and of course, youtube.com/fireteamchat. So join me there, that specific time. And I did that this week. This is my first week of 2018 doing it regularly. And I had a lot of fun. I was complaining. I was still having my issues with Destiny 2.
You're venting.
And venting. But the experience with your friends is still there. It's still a great world to hop in with people and just have a good time and complete tasks. We did the raid lair because that was the quest for the week. We did the Nightfall. And we were able to just kind of hang out and talk about whatever was going on, what we think about Destiny.
Console each other.
Yeah, console each other a little bit. We want the game to be better. And I think what people want the most is they want that place where they can go, where the community is, where they can have those conversations with their friends, where they can talk about life, where they can talk about the game, they can talk about the cool drop that they got, they can talk about how they did a raid with a different team and that one dude fell asleep, Faridon.
Exactly.
And like, we're like, oh man, I played with CJ and he could not get that Skolas thing down. You know?
That's how Destin and I, there was some, I have that thing saved in my,
really?
My PS archive. I was like, that was the day that I thought Destin and I were friends, until the Skolas stream.
Every day I wish I could have recorded the 30 minutes it took Brian to get down the jump puzzle the first time.
And the amount of times you die at the ledge.
I mean, I feel like the game is, like, I think that's why people are mostly frustrated with it, is because at the end of the day, like, it is a really fun game to play. Like, running, jumping, shooting, playing with your friends, like, that's all so much fun. All we really want, and I'm here speaking for the community, I think, is that, like, all we really want is for the game to realize its full potential, because it could be this amazing thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if some people feel like even that it's impacting the friendships that they've been able to develop online.
Oh, for sure.
Because that's an outlet for a lot of people to meet people and talk with people. Yeah. And if nobody's playing, you no longer have those friendships. And we're all just kind of like, where's that next game that's going to offer that? Hi, Anthem.
Yeah, well, and that's what everybody, I think,
people are looking
for. Yeah, yeah. And you know, hoping it's something like a competitor, like you said, I think, a few times in the show. And that's funny. I think I've logged on to, you know,
iDivision. People are jumping into the Division. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's so good. Reddit, I think, just looking back to it, my most memorable post I've ever seen is like, you know, hey, Bungie, I'm a father of three. I really want to neglect my family again and spend some time with all my friends.
Was that you, CJ?
It might have been me, secret posting. No, but it is that thing where a lot of people had something special and was a little bit of an outlet. And
yeah,
that
totally.
Is not happening as much anymore. And yeah, that's unfortunate, right? So
yeah, I mean, like, I know people are going back to The Division because there was a recent update that kind of supposedly made it really good.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I said, like, I think competition is good just in any industry, but particularly where Destiny is totally dominating in this one particular space that's very lucrative and very new. I think it would be good to find the League of Legends to the Dota, right? Or the Overwatch to the Counter-Strike, right? Like another game that's very similar, that does a lot of the same things and tries to do them better, that gives people an option. Because if anything, that'll light a fire under Bungie's
Yeah.
Damn it. It's not like they need motivation. It's mostly just like a...
Yeah, it's a healthy competition. Yeah,
competition is better for the player.
Gotta bleep it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's it. There's really not much else to say. And honestly, that's what sucks is like you have a show called Fireteam Chat where we want to talk about playing Destiny.
Yeah, I just want to point out, fire teams are also what they call Halo groups.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's Guardians and
hey,
Halo.
What have we been playing?
What are you talking about, Sean? Yeah.
The last couple nights, what have we been playing multiplayer-wise there?
Yeah, Halo 5 is really tight.
Halo 5 is great.
It's scratching this itch where I'm just like, there's this competitive like ranking system, and then I'm getting in there, and it's like, you know, four shot.
So having done this show as long as I have, I do recognize, and Sean, you've been here for most of it, I do recognize when there is a lull, and we're in a lull period where there's going to be a lot of people expressing their dissatisfaction with the current state of the game. Usually it's not this bad. It hasn't been this bad in the past. But they're going to come back. There's going to be another DLC, and there will be a whole new wave of conversation.
Yes.
So I'm not worried about Fireteam Chat. Some people have expressed that.
Yeah.
Will we venture towards other games? Like, probably, yeah. I would be very interested to hear what you would think about Fireteam Chat playing other properties. Like, if we were to try out Division for a week or something like that. Yeah. Let us know in the comments.
What I will say, too, is that, I mean, a lot of these, like, headlines are... You know, and I want to present this side because I want to see a little bit how you guys feel. There's a lot of people now criticizing it because I think it's very popular. So it's very trending. It's a lot of people are getting, you know, a lot of clicks for being a little bit negative towards Destiny.
And people are fatigued by that.
And people are a little bit fatigued by that. Yeah. And myself included. Like, I'm not a guy who's going to like sit there and kick somebody when they're down. If anything.
That's what it feels like.
It feels like it. It's like, you know what? Like, I don't want to defend Bungie because a lot of these things, I think that they're very warranted to get the criticism they're getting. But at some point in time, like, especially me personally, like, if somebody down on the ground, I don't go like, yeah, and spit on them, like, you know, when I'm walking by. It's like, you know, do you need a hand? Like, can we help? And I think there's a lot of people in the community are doing that, but it's tough. And for the people who are saying, is it too late? Is Destiny dead? No, the reality is Destiny is not dead until they say that we're not supporting the game anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, those kind of comments and headlines, again, we're asking the same kind of question.
Also,
it's a very valid question. But, no, the game is not dead.
It's also
until
super
they
presumptuous to call the
Bungie
leading game
exactly.
in this genre dead. Like,
no.
It has
not.
No competitors. It has millions of players. It's ultra successful. The game is dead. Like, who are you?
No, I know. And so that's
Do you know what the word dead means?
Yeah. Like, if anything, I will say, you know, there's a little, you know, it's a bit of on life support. They've had a bad injury and, you know, they need a little bit of assistance.
I signed on today. Tower was full. There's still tons of players in the world, so no, it's not dead.
No, and again, they're obviously going to bring people back. I think that's the funny thing is, for me, I kind of chuckle to see all the people saying, "No, I'm done, I'm out." And it's like, you know what? If they release a good update, you'll be back.
So that's the thing is, like, I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world that you walk away from Destiny for a little bit and play another game.
100%.
Right?
Bungie themselves actually encourage that.
Yeah, like, I'll be the first to admit I haven't been playing too much Destiny recently. PUBG released on console, and about that right
Fortnite
now.
Fortnite as well.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Halo 5 to scratch that multiplayer, competitive multiplayer itch. Yeah. But, like, when Bungie does release some content or if there's an update, day where I'm like, wait, that addresses a lot of what I want to go back to. Mm-hmm. I'll be the first to jump back in because guess what? Like I said before, like, the game is still really, really fun to play.
And you're curious. Oh, so what happened? Did they fix any of the problems?
Yeah.
How do I feel about it now? I want to form an opinion. And that's why people
play. And we all want it to get to that point that Destiny 1 eventually got to where it's like, oh man, for the most part, the sandbox, the weapon balance feels good. For the most part, all the activities offer some sort of incentive and reward. For the most part, my experience is good enough to put in 1,000 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. I think that's what's weird. We're at this point where we all remember what Destiny was, and it's kind of like, oh, we got to say, yeah, I play Destiny still again. Like, we're hoping that Destiny 2 would bring a bunch of new people and keep them around. And so that's unfortunate. But again, you know, I think the other issue is this is where we're at. Like, this is it. And it sucks that we're here again, but we are. So there's a certain amount of like, okay, this is where we're at.
As long as
there's not really much else.
Ultimately, I think if Bungie takes the necessary steps to move the community forward, I think, or to move forward with the community, I think we're going to be in a good spot.
They'll move past it. It'll take a little bit of time. But for our time on this episode today, that is all that we have. Sean, CJ, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, man.
Of course.
All right. And community, until next time, Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.